Thank you, Mary Ann. I was a little relieved when you said I was giving the talk on receiving God's gifts. I just wasn't sure, but I gave this talk maybe, I guess it's been about 5 years ago. I keep talks after I give them kind of in notes and just look them over and see, you know, just to get an idea of what I'm talking about. But a couple of things I noticed was that I wouldn't give the same talk I gave then just because life has changed so much. And the other big thing I noticed was the size of the font has gotten a lot bigger in 5 years. I don't understand that, but it's for good reasons, I'm sure. So how many of you went to Catholic schools in growing up, elementary schools? Anyone? A few of you, not everyone. And that's okay. I want to share kind of my memory of going to Catholic schools. And I went to St. Antoninus Grade School over in Western Hills. I want to share about my second grade. And as a Catholic, the second grade is really kind of an important grade because a lot of things happen. You get your first confession and you receive your first communion, which are life-changing events in the life of a Catholic. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for the school. The school made a big deal of it. My family made a big deal of it. I remember Mom and Dad got me a new suit. And the day of the event, you know, all the neighbors and the family came to the house and it was a big celebration. I was in the middle of it. So it was a tremendous day. But at the heart of the day was receiving the Lord in the Eucharist. When you're in a Catholic school, you learn about all these things in religion class. You know, they do a great job teaching, I'm sure, but when you're in second grade, you're 7 or 8 years old. Religion is generally sandwiched in between, I don't know, reading and math class, so it's another part of the curriculum for the students. So I don't know that you necessarily, I can really only speak for myself, I don't know that I appreciated or had the maturity to understand the gift that I was receiving in my first communion. And you know, it's not the fault of the teachers, not the fault of the schools. Don't misunderstand me. They do a tremendous job, and I have all the respect in the world for teachers, and I thank God I'm not one of them. But receiving communion, it's such a life-changing event, and I don't know that 50 years later, I still fully understand and appreciate the gift that God gave me that day. And the gift that God gives us is His Son, Jesus. And Jesus came to bring redemption, healing, and a new life. Jesus answered, "Those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring which will provide them with life-giving water and give them eternal life." The fullness of a new life, the fullness of drinking the water of eternal life, involves trust and belief in Jesus. Belief in Jesus. The word believe comes from the German word glauben. And the meaning of glauben really has a little deeper meaning than just believe. It involves falling in love. And that's what the new life requires. It requires falling in love with Jesus, which involves commitment and effort. To achieve this fullness of a new life, we really need to turn towards God and away from things that block our relationship with God. Many years ago, prior to me coming to Lighthouse, I had made some very selfish choices which harmed my marriage and many of the people that I love most. And you know, when you chase the empty promises of sin, you don't find happiness and fulfillment that you're searching for. Instead, you generally find anguish, regret, and despair. Fortunately for me, I have a wonderful, loving wife. I have caring friends. At the same time this was all going on, we got a new archbishop in our diocese. And he brought with him a prayer for vocation. If you're Catholic, you may know the prayer. In it, it talks about prays for faithful husbands and wives who are a sign of Christ's love for His church. And I really believe that that prayer and the resolve of my wife And the condemnation that I received from my friends saved my marriage. I'm so thankful because next month, my wife and I will be celebrating 33 years of marriage. Yeah. So it was this trial, along with some other tragedies in my family at the time, that led my wife and myself to Lighthouse in the Life and the Spirit Seminar, just like you guys are here in tonight. Probably there was a better speaker that night, but I don't remember exactly who gave the talk. It wasn't me. But what I found at Lighthouse has been nothing less than miraculous, and I'm going to expound upon that in a minute. Sometimes we need a change of direction or a reorientation in our lives. I certainly did. To follow Christ requires conversion, repentance, and reconciliation. Conversion. Choose Jesus as our destination. I've been following this priest online. He leads something for the Ascension Press. It's a daily thing called The Bible in the Year. Father Mike Schmidt, some of you may be familiar with him or doing the program. It's been a fantastic blessing. Father Mike, he says, the gospel today is so simple. You know, we ask Jesus, what does it take to inherit eternal life? Love God and love people. Start there and finish there. It's that simple. So that's conversion. Then there's repentance. Turn away from those things blocking our relationship with God. Repentance involves honesty, humility, and renunciation. And there's reconciliation. We need to ask God for forgiveness. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves for forgiveness too. As Christians, we acknowledge in the Apostle Creed that was instituted in 200 AD by Hippolytus that we believe in the forgiveness of sins. Additionally, the church offers us guidelines for formation of conscience in accordance with the good news of Jesus. We have the Ten Commandments, God's law, and then Scripture gives us lists of specific wrongdoings, including spiritualism, which is communication with the spirits of the dead through mediums. Other wrongdoings include witchcraft, occultism, and even Ouija boards. I remember when I first heard this talk, sitting in the audience thinking, Ouija boards? I don't believe in that stuff. I mean, how can that be harmful? That's just something that teenage girls do on Friday nights to scare each other. Well, there's more to Ouija boards than just that. Ouija boards are a form of divination, which is the practice of seeking knowledge of the future of or unknown through supernatural means. A disbelief in something doesn't necessarily mean that something isn't real. The Ouija board has an objective reality that exists apart from the person's perception of it. In other words, it's real even if we don't believe it. In addition to these being wrongdoings, there's another danger. We all believe in spirits. We believe in the Holy Spirit. There is spirituality outside of the flesh. Our belief is spirits are non-corporal essence of a being or an entity. And we believe at death, the spirit leaves the body. When you attempt to conjure a spirit, you can't always be certain if the spirit you're conjuring is holy. It could equally be evil, and probably more likely will be. It's a little dark, but it's something we want to stay away from. It's wrongdoing. And this is what the Bible says in Deuteronomy about divination, sorcery, omens, witchcraft, and spirituality. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. So these things definitely block our relationship with God. Other wrongdoings are more obvious, like lying, slander, and self-abusive acts. And if you find yourself in a state of grave sin, part of reconciliation requires sacramental confession. And St. Ignatius offers confession on Thursday evenings from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday afternoons from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Just a little public service announcement for you there. So as we turn toward God and surrender our lives, then the Spirit fills us with new life. And new life is more than the promise of salvation. New life is filled with many things, including miraculous happenings. And I want to share with you, after I started coming to Lighthouse, miracles did start happening in my life. And I'm going to share one specific one that was so obvious to me that there's no other explanation, but it was a miracle. So around 2000, my daughters were very petite. Well, they were pretty young back then too. But I always threw them in the swimming pool. And so one day, I've got three daughters, and I'm throwing them in the swimming pool. And they had a friend who was just a little bit older, but she wanted to be thrown too. Well, Mara was a little bit bigger too. I threw her, and as I did, I realized I hurt something in my back. I didn't know how serious it was. I didn't go to the doctor about it or anything like that. From time to time, I'd lean over the wrong way or bend the wrong way, and my back would go out, and I'd be stuck, bent over, and in pain. And this went on for a long time. And then about 2008, I was mowing my yard on a riding mower. There was one particular tree in the yard that had kind of a low canopy to it, and the limbs were kind of low. One particular limb was very low. And as I went around the tree, I had to always remember to duck as I went under that. Never had problems. I mean, I cut the yard for 8 years, never had a problem until 2008. That day I was in a hurry, apparently. I was going too fast and not paying enough attention. And as I went under the limb, I hit it with my head, and my head snapped back. And I knew immediately it was severe or serious. So I did go to the doctor. I got an MRI. He looked at it was kind of a full body MRI, and he saw the damage, the herniated discs from the back injuries. He saw bone fragments in my neck that he suggested be removed surgically. I wasn't really inclined to do that, so I asked him, well, what are the other options? He said, well, you can try physical therapy, we can prescribe steroids to you. And so I did all those things, and I would get momentary relief, temporary relief. In fact, I even bought this contraption that it hung from the doors, from the door jams, and I'd sit in there for like 15 minutes hanging myself to stretch my neck out. That would help. That would give me relief for 5 or 10 minutes. But then the pain would be back. The pain got so bad in about 2011. I had sciatica going down my left leg. It radiated in my leg so bad. And when I'd go to work, I couldn't bend my neck to look at the computer screen if I was sitting down. So I would stand at my desk, which back then wasn't as fashionable as it is today. So maybe I was just a trendsetter. But anyway, the pain was real, and it wasn't going away. I didn't have any kind of strength in my lower legs, so bad that there were times when my youngest daughter would have to help me put my socks and shoes on. I couldn't unrecline a chair. I could recline in it, but I couldn't unrecline it. So about 2012, we went and we purchased a electric chair because it was the only way I could get in and out of the chair. This all led to, in 2012, there was a conference coming to town over at East Central High School in Lawrenceburg, I guess that is. We decided that it sounded like a fun thing, so my wife and I decided to go one Saturday morning to this conference. I didn't know a whole lot about it. During the conference, or after the conference, there was a priest who was leading a healing service, Father Greg Bramlage. He's up on stage, and it's in the auditorium of East Central High School, and there had to be 300 people in the auditorium. And Father Greg, he says, now, I know a lot of people are suffering from injuries, from illnesses, sicknesses, whatever it may be. He said, I want you, if I call out a sickness or an illness or something, ailment that's affecting you, stand up and come to the aisle. And I'm going to ask people around you to pray over you. So he says, anyone who's got lower back pain or neck injury, go to the aisle. Well, I wasn't the only one with that. It's a pretty common thing. So, but I venture my way to the aisle, and people come up around me, and they're praying over me, and he's leading this prayer. And he He says, now I want you to follow my instructions. Trust in God, trust in Jesus, and do as I say. So I thought, I don't have anything to lose. So I'm standing there, and he says, he's praying. He says, I want you to bend over. He says, I want you, this goes on for probably 2 or 3 minutes. He says, I want you to put your hands on the ground in front of you. And the whole time I'm bending over, and before I knew it, I'm going to momentarily walk away from the microphone. I have my hands on the floor. He says, now stand up. I knew immediately I was healed. There was no more pain. The sciatica was gone. He says, now I want everybody who feels like they've got a healing to raise your hand. He says, look around. And there had to be 50 people with their hands up. The same healing service we're going to have next Wednesday night, if you've never been to one, the phenomenal, and the power is real, and the Holy Spirit is there. Finish that story with that day, there was a miracle. But while physically I was definitely healed, my back and neck were healed, the real healing that day was my faith. In a couple of weeks, we're going to pray for a deeper experience of baptism in the Holy Spirit, who is living water. Jesus sends us the Holy Spirit just like at the first Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's what Jesus said prior to Pentecost. And one final note, the Catholic understanding of receiving the Holy Spirit involves the sacrament of confirmation. The Catechism of the Catholic Church describes confirmation as the special outpouring of the Holy Spirit is once granted to the apostles on the day of Pentecost. A new and stronger flame of God's energizing power is given. Any Catholic who has not been confirmed may want to pursue this sacrament in order to be fully initiated into the Spirit. Prayer for the release of the Spirit does not take place of the sacrament of confirmation. However, even if you are not Catholic, know that God, who is all powerful, can do anything as long as you are open to his will. Jesus Christ loves you. He gave his life to save you. And now every day he's at your side, strengthening you, encouraging you, and freeing you. God bless all of you. God bless you, Deacon Tony.